Blog Talk Radio.
Time that I swore I would never go back. I was blind to the truth, didn't know what I had. I was running, I was searching, but every place I turned for healing left me more broken than the last. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I want to go to church. Trying to walk on my own, but I wound up lost. Now I'm making my way to the foot of the cross. Not a trophy for the win, shelter for the sinners, and it's right where I belong. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they see me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I wanna go to church.
Monday night, Yo Fix It 6, a.k.a. The Church. Amen. Glory to God. I am your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. Glory to the one and only High God. Amen. Glory to His name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but it's been a good day. Amen. In spite of, it's still been a good day because the Lord woke me up. Amen. He put joy in my heart. Amen. He gave me my limbs to be working. Amen. He gave me a voice to speak. He gave me ears to hear. Amen. He gave me a heart to love. Amen. And He put a word in me to teach and preach. Amen. Glory to His name. So without further ado, let's give Him glory with prayer. Amen. Father God, we thank You once again for what You've already done. We thank You for being our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and loving us enough to send Your only begotten Son, Father, to die on the cross and rise on the third day, Father, so we can live and have everlasting life in heaven with You, rejoicing and praising Your magnificent name. So, Father God, we pray for the less fortunate on today. We pray for those that are suffering. We pray for those who have loved ones in the hospital, those that are ill on today, not only with corona, but cancer, kidney problems, whatever it may be, Father. Love on your people, Father. Blow in the wind, a healing blow, Father, in the name of Jesus. We trust and believe that you are who you say you are. We know that you are who you say you are. So, Father, God, bless our family members, God, those that are suffering, those that are going through right now, in the name of Jesus. Put joy in their heart. Put peace in their mind, God. Give them an understanding that you're God all by yourself, and you really don't need our help because you got us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. Can we just talk tonight? Amen. Glory to God. Can we just talk? I mean, we got the word. We just ain't going to talk, but we're going to talk about the word. Amen. Because, you know, I've been, you know, last couple of days I've really been trying to take an inventory of me. You know what I mean? I've really been trying to, you know, get out of God's way in a sense. You know, because a lot of times I find myself sitting back having a conversation with God like, okay, Lord, I know what you said, but when? I know you God by yourself and you really don't need me because you created the moon, the stars, the earth, the ocean, everything in it. You know what I mean? You created life and you gave a woman the ability to carry life. So you really don't need me because my mindset is nowhere near yours. My imagination is never as far as yours. But I always find myself sitting back talking to God like, but when and why not? And why did I, you know what I mean? Asking a bunch of questions. So I said to myself, you know, Lord, I'm going to do my best to chill because I love communing with you and I love talking with you. But sometimes I just got to sit back and do what your words say. Sometimes I just got to sit back and wait on the Lord, I say. Amen, glory to God. Because a lot of times I'm in his way. You know, I want to be the driver. I want to be the passenger. I want to be the gas man. I want to be the one to fix the tires. I want to be the mechanic. You know what I mean? I want to direct the traffic. I want to stop this from moving. Lord, let's stop. Can you fix this? Can you do this for me? And I want to get to the point of not asking for things and not wanting things from God, but wanting more of God. Amen. Do that make sense? Amen. Glory to God. I want to know you. I want to know God more. I want to follow his instructions that he give me, whatever the instructions may be. What I mean by instructions, the scriptures, the prophetics that come from true prophets and prophetess and prophets, a word of God who comes from anybody. If it's a real word of God, I want to be obedient to that with patience. I want to be obedient to the word with patience. Amen. I want to sit back and let the manifestation of God's, whatever he said, whatever his word is for me, whatever his plans is for my life, I want him to manifest around me. I don't want to try to walk ahead of him and think I got it. Because sometimes we find ourselves, all right, well, you know, God taking too long. And maybe that wasn't from God. You know, I'm going to go out here and try to fix this thing. And I'm going to go out here and try to do this thing. And I'm saying all this because God was dealing with me, and like I said, I always go to me. I don't ask God about other people unless it's a prayer request, and then I ask God what to pray for. Lord, send me in a place to commune with you in prayer. But I got to get back to the place, not to say I don't, but I got to get back to that bona fide place of trusting God. And when I say trusting God, if I ask God for something or if I pray to God, should I sit around and worry? Should I sit around and say, dang, or if there is a situation, my trials and tribulations that will come, why do I worry in the midst of it instead of just waiting on the Lord to help bring me through? What am I supposed to get out of this? What lesson am I supposed to get out of this trial and tribulation? So instead of me worrying and trying to fix it, I'm going to sit back and chill. Like, Lord, okay, I'm going to get in your word a little more. I'm going to pray a little more. I'm a fellowship with you a lot more. I'm a fellowship one with another with the other brothers and sisters of Christ. But I got to be in the midst of you. I have to be in that arena to understand and hear, thus saith the Lord. Amen. So what we're going to do, like I said, we're going to talk a little bit this evening, glory to God. And go with me to the book of Proverbs. I know a lot of people know this scripture, but if you don't know it, amen. If you do know it, amen, because God can give 15 of us, a million of us, the same scripture, and he had a different revelation for that scripture. Amen. But I want to go to a familiar scripture. Amen. Familiar scripture, familiar chapter, verse, chapter 3, verses 5-6. But I'm going to go a little further. I'm going to go from 5 to 10. I'm going to start at chapter 3 and I'm going to go to 5 to 10 if it's okay. Amen. Because a lot of times we got to, I was always taught, sometimes if I'm reading the scripture, you might not get all the fundamentals of it. So sometimes you have to go a little farther ahead so I can get the understanding of what you're saying now. And sometimes you had to go down just a little further to get all the meat. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Bible says in chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, I'm going to go to 10. Amen. Hallelujah. Excuse me. Let no mercy and truth forsake. Now, we got to remember, this is, we're in a book of Proverbs, which is wisdom. So I believe, and if I'm wrong, God forgive me, that this scripture is, I want to say, the blessing of wisdom. Amen. If that's a correct way of putting it, the blessing of wisdom. Amen. It could be the guidings of young Christians. It could be the guidings of young people. It could be trusting in the Lord. I mean, we could you know, categorize it in a million ways, in a million ways, because of what the scripture is saying. But I love the part because I believe that the trusting in the Lord part, because for me to trust in the Lord, what I give the young is God's guidance and what he has given me. So if I'm trusting in the Lord and I'm giving the guidance to the younger folk, to the younger Christian, amen, that is God's blessing of wisdom to me. Hallelujah, if it makes any sense. Glory to God. For let no mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Amen. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all, not but, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. It's a path, not just one path. He shall direct all our paths. Amen. Be not wise in thine own eyes. What, amen. What we see and what we think we see. Amen. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. We all know what evil is. Anything that's not of God is evil. Killing, murder, lying, deceit, those little things is evil. Leading another person to sin, manipulation, witchcraft, sorcery, all those things. Amen. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. We going back to the basics, y'all. So shall thy barns be filled, your houses be filled, plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with thy wines. Now, I read that, and for me, I get to trust in the Lord. We got fear. We got honor the Lord. Amen. We have a few things here. But verses 5, they present to me three exhortations about living life as a godly man or woman. It says, trust in the Lord. Fear the Lord, verse 7 and 8. And honor thy Lord. 9 and 10 say, any man would do well to examine these three carefully, because it covers most of our life. If we examine those things, trust, fear, and honor in the Lord, trusting in the Lord, fearing the Lord, and honoring the Lord, we would do well to examine these three things carefully, because it covers most of our life. The first of the three is an encompassing, it's something that's going, it's a scripture, it's words, it's truth that's going through in a book that promotes the pursuit of wisdom. So in other words, doing these things is wise. Amen. Doing these things would be wise, because Solomon told us that ultimately we are to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Second, he said, in every way or path We are to what? Acknowledge God in everything, in every way or path, everything that we're doing, everything that we're believing, everything that we, even when we're going through. Listen, to me, that is the most important part that I've learned, to continue to trust God when I'm going through. Now, my going through might be different than yours. Your going through might be a headache. Your going through might just feel like, you know, I ain't got enough money today. I ain't got the steak. I got to eat oodles and noodles. That might be your going through. Like we say in the world, your rock bottom might not be my rock bottom. Amen? But my going through, is your going through is no less important than mine, and mine is no more important than yours. That's why God has given us the tools, like everything. Listen, these things will encourage us. It will promote the pursuit of wisdom. And Solomon said in his own words that we trust with all our heart, and all with all our heart, in every way or path, we are to acknowledge God in the midst of your storm. Acknowledge God. Father, what is in this storm that I must learn? I've learned that I must go through my storms. I must go through my trials. I must go through my tribulation without trying to drag someone else in it, without trying to make somebody else feel miserable. When you're up and God is blessing you and you're praising him and you're rejoicing and you're laughing and I'm going through, it is not my place to try to drag you into the midst of what I'm going through. It is my place to see you rejoicing, and that encourages me to know that my time will come, because you serve the same God that I serve. And because you're rejoicing and you're uplifted, I'm going to take some of that and rejoice with you. And in the midst of me rejoicing with you, I don't even know I'm going through. Because my mind is not set on that thing that I'm going through. It's set on rejoicing with my brother and sister. Praising God for blessing my brother and sister. Thanking God that he helped out my brother and sister. He let them beat cancer. He gave them a promotion. They got married. They got the new house. They got the car. They just got more of Christ. They just filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. They healing and delivering. They're doing the work of the Lord. I can take that and piggyback off your rejoicing, and before I know it, I'm not even in it. But a lot of times we start going through and we want to bring everybody down with us. You ever get somebody with that phone call, you having a good day, you sitting there washing the dishes, you cleaning the house, you sitting back saying, thank you, Lord, I'm about to go on vacation, or I'm about to, you know, God and bless me with a car, I'm just going to ride out and just have a good day and turn on some worship, praise music, I'm just going to ride out, and you get a phone call, and you know the name, you got call ID, and you just feeling good, you want to tell everybody your testimony to what God has done, and that phone call, as soon as you say, hello, how you doing, praise the Lord, what's going on, and you get that voice, how you doing? Oh, Lord, I just need somebody. Oh, God, it's somebody. I'm sorry to bother you. Oh, I am going through so much. Now, I'm not saying that I won't listen, and I'm not saying that it's not my place to hear you out and pray with you, whatever the scenario may be. But we ought to be able to come to a time and a place, even in the midst of feeling like that, that I'm going to call on God first. I'm sorry. I just had, listen, Lord, I'm beat down. I'm tore up from the floor up. Here's my tears. Here's my heart. Here's my confession. Here's my love for you. Here's me, all of me open. You can see me naked. Listen, I need a rejoicing moment. Can you just blow on me? Can you just touch me? Can you push me through this storm a little faster? And even if he don't, just by knowing that I've talked to the Most High God and that I know that he's not going to leave me in that mess, and I know that what he's taking me through is for something for his good. And by me knowing that, that's why you got to read the word, because now we got to start knowing why God is doing what he's doing. We got to start knowing why he's holding this blessing up. We got to know why he's keeping you away from people. People are staying away from you. Doors are being shut. See, we don't like that, but we got to start saying, okay, God, you shut that door. Let me get some more rejoicing time, because by you shutting that door, you done kept me away from something. And once I start looking at it as a positive, I stop looking at it like God is punishing me or taking me through something or hurting me. No, he's just strengthening us. He's just strengthening us. Hallelujah for the strength. Thank you, God. We got to get back to trusting God with all our hearts in every way. Amen. Which means now living in the knowledge that what? That God exists. Sometimes we just think God don't. You could be sitting right around people that don't believe in God, and you could be sitting right around them, and they say, I don't know why you're sitting there believing in God. Look what you're going through. You ain't doing no better than me. You saved, and look at you. I'm probably doing a little better than you. And you sit there, and listen to that, instead of rebuking that devil and telling that devil to flee from you, sit there and start having a pity party with somebody. Now they rejoicing about a God that they don't even serve more than you. They trusting and believing in God. They were, listen, I don't know who you serving, but I'm doing better than you right now. And you sit right there and start believing that mess and stop remembering the trial that this stuff comes to make us stronger. Trials come to make us stronger. Don't come to make you weak. It comes to make us stronger. But we allow the enemy to throw that nonsense up, because that's because now it's not the spirit man, it's the fleshly man going through what we're going through. Amen. Hallelujah. We got to remember to continue to live and acknowledge God and acknowledge that God exists. And in the source of all wisdom, a danger of gaining wisdom and insight is that we can forget that wisdom comes from God. It comes from God. All things that are good come from God. God has never made nothing bad, nothing ugly, nothing nasty, nothing filthy, nothing trifling. That's why I don't see how people can convince us that you're unattractive, that you're never going to be. Now, wait a minute. God ain't never said that. God has never created nothing that was filthy, foul, nasty, and I'm talking about his children. Because he loves us all. We are his pride and joy. So there's no way that nobody should be able to badger you with words. You have an abusive husband that's verbally abusive, a verbally abusive wife or friend that every time things ain't going right in their life, they want to abuse you. They want to try to bring you down. When you're around people like that, something's going on with them. Lord, I'm going to pray for them because I know who I am. I know who you said I was. I ain't receiving that in the name of Jesus. But, Lord, give me insight of what to pray for this man or woman, because I refuse to accept what they're trying to make me feel right now. Because if you done woke me up, gave me joy, gave me peace of mind, brung me through, whatever it may be he has brung us through, amen. But I said we're going to talk a while, amen. So I'm just trying not to get too much into it, because I like to talk about the Lord. I like to talk about the manifestation of resurrection. When something is resurrected, something that's dead or dying, and you, especially if you're on the side of the death part of it, and the manifestation of God's resurrection hit your life. When all your finances was just blown out the window, and all of a sudden, here's a supernatural miracle. Somebody knocked on the door. Not only did somebody knock on the door and say, the Lord told me to give you this, but the bank called and said, we made a mistake 4 years ago, and we owe you this amount. And all of a sudden, there's some property over there that somebody in your family had, and the wrong person got it. We missed your Social Security number by one, so we done found out who you were. And all this just started coming your way. See, I believe God like that. I don't believe God going to make me be a borrower. He said, we are the lenders, not the borrower. I don't believe that he's going to let me live in poverty. I don't think he's going to make me be less than a king. And I believe that. I believe that I'm going to walk with royalty. I'm going to speak with wisdom and understanding. I'm going to be able to touch those that are sick, weak, and dying, and bring life in the name of Jesus to every dying thing. Just like you water your plant and minister to them. You minister to them plants. You just don't be watering. You be singing and pulling the dead things off of it. You be putting them in new pots that went and got fresh, good dirt, made sure the pot was had the right holes in it, set it in the right light. That's ministry. So if you put all that love into a plant, imagine what God is putting into you. Life. The same way we minister and mold that plant, God is doing the same thing to us. And sometimes you just feel a little bad. That's that little brown leaf. You pop it off. Sometimes you just feel bad. Sometimes you just feel like, I don't feel like going through right now. But you got to go through it, because you know when you minister to them plants, and you see that flower blossom off of it, you know the joy on your face. And that's how God is when we go through without complaining and start doubting and lack of faith and lack of believing. We got to start going back to God naked. We got to start going back, like, search me on a daily basis. Because I woke up this morning, I had a nightmare last night, and I wasn't feeling good yesterday. Me and my wife was arguing yesterday, and I didn't like what she cooked yesterday. She didn't do my laundry yesterday, and my car broke down yesterday. My boss didn't give me the overtime, plus I didn't get the promotion. Oh, I need to be checked. Because I'm waking up with all this stuff still on me. I need to be checked. I need a checkup. I need a spiritual checkup. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's just a little something to think about for a few seconds, and we'll be back with the rest of our rap session on Your Fix at 6.
I wanna be where you are. That's where I wanna go, in that higher place. That's where I wanna be, in that secret place called the home. Atmosphere is because I want to be taken. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I want to be taken to that higher place. I want to be taken to that secret place in you. Anybody else want to go?
I wanna be where you are.
That's where. There's a holy place. that secret place, in that secret place, in that secret place. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Holy Spirit, take me there. Holy Spirit, take me there. Holy Spirit, take me there. I don't want to stay here, but I long to be there. Yeah. I don't want to stay here, but I long to be there. I don't want to stay here, but I want to be there.
That secret, secret place. Only you know what that secret place is, and only you know where that secret place is at with you and the Father. And a lot of times, you know, even in a time such as this, I'm learning that this is one of the times that I don't know how long this COVID thing is going to last, but I'm learning to take advantage of every little moment of free time that I have to get to God, because a lot of times we're so busy hustling and bustling and working. If you have kids, you take care of the kids, your significant other, you know, and life happens and things happen in life. But this is, I just believe that God has put us on a plane and he's finding out who really wants to seek him, who really spending time with him, because we really have no excuses now. I mean, it ain't that much. I can't watch that much TV. I can't sleep that much. I after a while, I'm just tired. And when I get to that point, that is the perfect time to just sit somewhere with a cup of hot tea and some mint and some ginger, a little honey, and Jesus, and just sit in a quiet spot somewhere, you know, and let him minister and talk. I mean, that's your Father. That is the ultimate Father. That is the nourisher of our spirit. That is the nourisher of our spirit, man. A spiritual injection of our spirit, man. He has the right antidote to strengthen our spirit, man. And that's his love and his word for his children. Amen. And we are his children. And I just want to, you know, for just a little recap from verse 5 to 8, but matter of fact, from verse 5 to 10, we just need to just remember that we are to acknowledge God, which means living in the knowledge that he exists and he is the source of all our wisdom. But a dangerous thing is obtaining wisdom and insight. The danger of gaining wisdom and insight is that we can forget that the wisdom comes from God, and then we start believing that we're our own source, that we got our own knowledge and our own wisdom. Because what happens with that is we start doing what we want to do. We start feeling the way we want to feel. Like, I ain't feel like being bothered today. I don't want to talk to nobody today. I'm going to do what I want today. Nope. I'm going to go out and I'm going to celebrate. Now, you know, I'm going to do whatever it is, but I know it has nothing to do with the wisdom that God has given me. Amen. And we got to understand that our intellect and our morals and our stewardship and our moral activities must acknowledge and honor God. The way we give must honor God. Our stewardship, our intellect, the way we speak and treat people must honor God. Amen. Our morals, the way we are honorable to one another, we ain't lying, we ain't stealing, we ain't deceiving, we ain't manipulating. Our lifestyle has to honor God. Amen. I'm trying to push this. I don't want to rush it, but I'm for the sake of time, not the sake of rushing God's people. Amen. But the trusting in the Lord part. That's, you know, when I was in school, they say action word, you know, is an action, a noun is a people, places, and thing, and a noun is a people, place, and thing, and a verb is an action word. I think it's like that. If I'm wrong, Lord, please forgive me. I think the verb is the action word, and the noun is people, places, and things. But trusting in the Lord, to me, is action, which means it's a verb. Amen? So that verb, that trust, just the part of trust, just that trust part is a complete, it's a completement to the verb, amen? What I mean by that, it's a completement to the next word, that word lean. So you put them together, it's an action thing. We trust and we lean. Trusting in God is a conscious decision or dependency on God. You know, I made a conscious decision that I'm going to depend on God. That is a conscious thing. Nobody can force me to do it. I don't care how many times you invite me to church. I don't care how many times you take me to church. I got to church. I have to sit down and make a conscious decision. I'm going to trust and believe in this God. Yep, I'm going to trust and believe. Because the things I've been doing and the way I've been living and the people I've been hanging around and the advice I've been taking from other people got me right in the spot that I got. And most of the time, the spot that all that nonsense get us is right in the church. If it don't get us in the penitentiary and if it don't get you in the cemetery and if it don't get you in a place like that, most of the time we end up in the church. Because we done got to the point. You know, I ain't got cirrhosis of the liver. My kidney's cool. God, he brung me through. I don't have mental health problems. He done brung me through. Even though I was going through some things, he done brung me through. That is enough to push us right to God's house. Not only to God's house, but hopefully to God's heart. Because he loves us. But we got to go banging on his heart to prove to him, not to prove to him, to let him know that I love you and need you, Jesus. I tried everything else. I tried anybody else. I tried every substance. I did everything and nothing works. Everything pushed me right to you. So that's how he has it made. That's how the world is. Because God knows eventually you're coming home. Because you're his child. You run away from home in the flesh. You think you've grown. And then you sit in somebody's house. You got to sleep on the couch, sleep in the basement. You can't go in their refrigerator. After a while, you miss mom and dad saying sweep that floor. After a while, you miss mom and dad saying go get a job. After a while, you don't care about that because you got a comfortable bed. You got shower, soap, water, clean clothes. You over somebody else's house, you feel like you're a slave or something. You can't eat until you wash the walls. You can't eat until you wash their car. Come on. God has it, so he does things that he draws us to him. And it's not a punishment. He's drawing us nearer to him. Amen. I just like it because now it got me to the point of thinking that leaning on God, leaning, it's like, okay, when you stand in the park, you're at the family reunion, you get a little tired, you've been walking, y'all been playing football, you get right up under that cozy, nice tree and lean right on that tree, don't you? Because you lean on that tree for support because you're tired. You need that tree to hold you up. And we need God to hold us up. We need God's support. Because if you lean on that tree for support, the command to acknowledge God means to observe him and get to know him in the process of living. These are the vital elements of faith that should fill every area of our life. It should fulfill every area of our life. I said we're going to just talk tonight. And I got some stuff and feel good. But I just want to really talk. Because sometimes we need to talk. It's like fellowship. If we're just sitting around a table right now, we got our books out, our Bibles out. And yes, if you want to pray, and yes, if you want to hand clap, yes, if you just want to get up, yes, if the Holy Ghost hit you, whatever it is, but as long as we're in his presence and we're getting fed and we're getting wisdom, not just for us, because somewhere down the line, we're going to have to transport this wisdom and love to somebody else. That's why he gives it to us. Amen. Because we got to understand that trusting in God is like, okay, I know for me, I just didn't start trusting God. I ain't going to say that. I had to learn to do it, You know, because I was like, yeah, yeah, I hear you saying that. I hear, but I don't, you know, and it's me. He ain't did nothing. He ain't did all, you know, because I didn't know no better. Yeah, I know you say God to do this, but when I start seeing the hands, and this is how I see the hands. When men and women of God was preaching and teaching and saying, and the prophetess came, and the prophet came and spoke things, and you know, to the, who don't know me, didn't know me, and all of a sudden, I felt this joy when things start happening. It wasn't like my father took me to the store or took me up to his job and got me a job. It's like I was sitting home just wondering what was going to happen, and a job I applied for 15 years ago, the people call me now. Because now God say you're ready for what is connected. You're ready to be a leader. You're ready to balance a checkbook. You're ready now to be trusted. So that is when I start trusting God, because I seen his hand in it. You know what I mean? It wasn't so much that what man told me, but I seen God's hand in it. So that's when I learned to trust God. But so now I'm trying to learn to trust him in every aspect of my life, because often a lot of stuff happens. And you got to understand, for me, trusting God came through trial and error. The woman of God might have said, you just hold on. You're going to be in front of kings and queens. God is going to raise you up. You're going to be surprised how he used you. And I'm like, okay, that sounds good. Where's my $20? Y'all ain't paid me for my work yet. But that sounds good, too. So, you know, God used that for me to keep coming. See, that greed in me for that money kept me coming, not knowing that God had a bigger reward. It wasn't even so much about the money. The reward became being a pastor. No, the reward became getting baptized, trusting God a little more, getting a fiance, getting married, a nice home, someone loves you, that you know the kind of love that you look for, even in the midst of your stupidity. And I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about nobody else. And in the midst of your nonsense and craziness, he put a queen, a treasure, right in your path from the beginning and to this day. And they're still praying for you. They're still sure. See, I see the God in that individual. As long as I continue to see God in her and she continues to see God in me, we're going to be all right. When the God go, oh, we know the hell coming in, the hell storm coming in. So as long as we continue to trust and believe in God, and she see the God in me and I see the God in her, we're going to be all right in the midst of holding hands, crying together, in the midst of going storm. Because when you become one, I mean, you might have been separated, but when you get I do, you do, and you're going to get the do-do because it's coming. Amen. Glory to God. It's just the way it is. But when we mature, because Christian maturity doesn't happen overnight. You know, it ain't going to happen overnight, because we all need to be we need to be reminded of some of the most basic and some of the things that we went through. We need to be reminded of some of the basic truths. And this is why, which is why this is one of the most quoted scriptures and passages. However, when we are able to rest in God's guidance and his direction, guess what? We will experience God's peace with exceeding anything we can understand. And before, I'm going to go to another, I ain't going to do it right now, but before we close out, I got a scripture to back that up. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times I'm learning. Oh, my God. This is what I've learned. Maybe over the years, and some of y'all probably been there. Amen. Glory to God. I just got it a few months ago. If I can speak and teach and say things and back it up with God's word, listen, that go to manifestation, that go to proof. It ain't about me. It's about God's word bringing life to any dead or every dead thing that's in our lives. Every stupidity thought, every negative thought, every negative behavior, every doubt, every woesy me, those are the enemy. I was reading something in the Bible, and it was saying how God said when he was walking and the sons of God came, I think it was in the book of Job, and the sons of God was with him. The sons of God was with him, was walking with him, and they told the devil, like, you better get out of here. What you doing coming around here? And he said, I come to go here and fro, seeing who I can seek and destroy. Now, I was like the sons of, but it didn't say disciples, so I did. I'm like the sons of God. Now, this is just me. It's just an old something I'm going to throw in. And when I went to, into depths of it and started reading the Son of God, those are angels walking with the Lord. Now, listen, God is walking the plan with the angels. Every time you see the devil, what you doing around here? Why are you at their house? Why are you at their job? Why are you in their dream? What you doing? And the devil told him, yeah, I come. See, when the devil told him, he couldn't lie to God anyway, I come to try to kill him, to destroy him, going back and forth to see who I can destroy. And God asked him, have you tried my servant Job? And he said, yeah. I ain't trying because he got this, this, and that. That's why he haven't cursed you yet. I'm just throwing all that in to say, listen, God is with the, him and the angels got you. No matter what we're going through, they coming. They on fire. Oh, my God. I'm going to leave that one there. I'm going to leave that one there. Whew. I'm going to leave that one right there. Like we were talking about, the verb trust is complemented by the verb lean. And we got to get to that point where we continue to lean on God. Go with me to the book of Philippians. Yeah, chapter 4. And we're going to try to close with that. I don't want to keep nobody up. It's a beautiful day. You might be barbecuing. You might be sitting on the patio. You might, you know, might be doing husband and wife thing. Might be having game night. You know what I mean? Some things we got to balance it out. And all, you know what I mean? God knows he wants you to have joy. So whatever it is, you know, a nice cold pineapple juice with crushed ice. You know what I mean? Might be cake and ice cream night. You might have been dieting all month. You know what I mean? You might just be getting a pot of beans and some neck bones and cornbread and rice, a good movie, you know what I mean? Good company. All those things feel good in the spirit. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. Because, see, I don't know about nobody else. I come to appeal to rejoice in the Lord. Now, chapter 4, and I'm going to read, I'm going to start at verse 5. Just listen to God. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, not unto man, not unto the pastor, not to the bishop, not to the apostle, not to the prophetess, and not to the doctor, not to the police, not to the judge, not to the husband, not to the wife, unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall what? Keep your hearts. That's all of us, and our minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren and sister, I'm going to ask sister, the Bible don't say it. Whatsoever thing are true, whatsoever thing are honest, whatsoever thing are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue in it, there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Oh, hallelujah. Paul, bad boy, he repeatedly used the word joy in this letter. His attitude is nothing short of supernatural in light of the fact that he wrote this letter while what? Sitting in a prison cell. Listen, sometime in the midst of sitting in your own prison cell, we got to come up with a rejoicing spirit. We got to come up with a rejoicing prayer. We got to come up with a rejoicing praise. We got to come up with a reminder that even in my own mind that I put myself in a prison in my mind, I got to remember whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good. That's a report I have to remember. Sitting in a prison cell, his joyful attitude is contagious as he urges his readers to rejoice in the Lord always. See, Paul knew something. He knew that there are no debtors around hardship in this life. And we will all have our own personal share of suffering. We will. That's just the way it is. But guess what? But while we can't control whether or not we experience hardship, we can control our response to do it instead of being overcome by despair. We just talked about that. When difficulty strikes, y'all, when hardship and pain and tears strike, we can choose to be joyful. And I'm going to tell you how. First, by presenting our request. The Bible says presenting our request in prayer to God and trusting God and handling the answers in His time. Those are the things we just went over. Let Him do it. We talked about that in the beginning. Let Him do it in His time. Oh, trusting. Oh, give your request unto God in prayer. In prayer. Trusting God to handle the answers in His time. We also need to understand by saturating our minds with whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are honest and whatsoever things are just. In verse 8, in doing so, we focus on how great God is instead of how difficult our circumstances are. And I'm going to close by saying, by following this example of Paul, others who have put their faith and practice and experience and walk and time and joy in spite of hardship, when we do these things, we'll begin to see both trials and joys as gifts from God. Just like we see the joy as a gift, we'll begin to see the trials as a gift from God. I hope and pray that I'll fix it six, that you got a fix on this evening that will hold us, that we can use, that we can impart it in our spirit, that we can share it with others. This is what your Fix It 6 is about, giving us something to hold on to, giving us a little more Jesus to hold on to, giving us a little more insight on Jesus to hold on to, giving us a little more faith in Christ to hold on to, giving us that spirit of love and joy and understanding that even the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Amen. It is an internal spirit. Amen. It is something that is marvelous. And we have to remember that our body is a temple. Amen. But we also have to remember that God has to be invited in to dwell. He can be resisted. Amen. I have to say this because the Holy Spirit is the power line that God creates. He renews. He convicts of sin. He baptizes. He guides us. He anoints it, empowers it, sanctifies it, bear witness of it, reveals things to God. He's the comfort. He gives us joy. He gives us disagreements. He bears fruit. It gives gifts. It bears fruit. It gives gifts. It bears fruit. It gives gifts. It speaks. It teaches. And it makes intercession. It makes intercession for the Father. We are such a blessed people. We are such a blessed creature. We are such in a blessed time right now. We are in a place, in a time where everything's at a standstill, but God is still moving. And as long as we continue to invite Him into our hearts, and invite Him into our homes, and invite Him into our minds, and we continue to trust in Him, and continue to lean on Him, and continue to believe in Him, oh, when it's over, they're going to be rejoicing in the streets. Oh, they're going to be revival in the streets. Oh, it's going to be a brand new world. I know it and trust it and believe it. I can almost see it, but I'm not a prophet to say when and where and how, but I believe and know that there's going to be a revival that's going to be magnificent. I'm talking about a true Holy Ghost healing, delivering, fire revival. Amen. So I hope you enjoyed your fix on this evening. As always, we want to thank First Lady of MCI Ministry, a.k.a. The Church, for doing such an outstanding job. We want to thank all our listeners, all our supporters, all those who continue to support and give and bless, are being blessed and blessing us also with your words of encouragement and, you know, telling us to continue to keep on. Don't stop. Amen. Glory to God. That lets me know that the power of the Lord is being moved, the love of the Lord is being received, and the teachings and the love and understanding. And with all that being said, I say, Lord, we thank you for what you've done. And I thank you for using me and choosing me. And I hope you're well pleased with my doing on this day. We'll deal with tomorrow. But I hope you're pleased with me on this day, my behavior, my thoughts, and my love for your people and my understanding of you. I pray that you continue to bless your people with joy, wisdom, peace, understanding. Continue to hug them and bless them and reassure them that you are still God by yourself, myself included, God. We just know when you open up the ark, oh, there's going to be rainbows. Oh, there's going to be birds singing. There's going to be a heavenly sound throughout the world. And God, we give you praise and right now. And we thank you for it right now. Put us in the number, God. Put us amongst your people so we can praise you and honor you with our lifestyle. And we give you thanks and we give you glory. We ask you to bless all those who put out a prayer petition to us. We ask you to bless those who are suffering from COVID and from cancer or any other illness. We ask you to heal them, God. Send a doctor with wisdom. Give them enough knowledge to make a vaccine, God. Heal your people. Let us walk upright. Let us talk again for you. Let us talk like you. Let us love like you. Let us be examples of you, God. Tell us what we have to do. Come knock on the door. Open up the rooftops. Come in our hearts, God. If we let any part of you dwell, I'll come back in. Clean out this furniture. Clean out the junk. Take the red fox out and put the Taj Mahal in. Put your kingdom in me, God. Put your Holy Ghost in us, God. Put your baptism in us. Continue to let your blood do what it was designed to do. And it's still working. We trust and believe these things in Jesus' name. And like First Lady always say, the one and only, we're going to leave you with a song.
Go with me now. Come on, let me hear some knee slapping, some hand clapping. Oh, yeah. Everybody's in outrage. In the house.
Never in open door. Hey, you got something to praise him for. Whether given
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Yes, Lord God, God, yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you.